You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Johnny Vance, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Marty. So great to be here.
I don't know if this is bigger for me or for you, because you have had a direct impact on the education of my two children, particularly my older son. But the younger son picks it up, too, as a writer and director for Tuttle Twins, an incredibly educational and based cartoon that, as a parent, I feel comfortable allowing my children to watch. So thank you for doing that.
Thanks for having me, man. I mean, we just make this show in a dinky little office. And so the fact that it's in people's living rooms is always a surprise to us. We just see numbers on a screen. And so we're like, wow, yeah, an honor to be in your living room, Marty.
Well, that's what I'm curious. I mean, it's such a great idea, because I think that's a big topic, particularly in Bitcoin circles, but even more broadly with millennial parents. And obviously a big topic is screen time, whether or not you give a kid an iPad, whether you let them watch TV, if you do, for how long, what shows. And I think over the last couple of decades, the spectrum of content available for kids has become incredibly woke or incredibly dumbed down. And it's hard as a parent, because sometimes you do need a 30 to an hour break to get something done. And sometimes a screen is the best thing to do if they're tired playing for the day. And it's hard to find good content. And when Tuttle Twins first came out, we immediately became guild members and felt very comfortable putting the boys in front of a screen to watch this content, because it's incredibly educational. And more importantly, its values align with what our values are as parents, what we'd like to convey to the boys about values and things they should be learning about at a young age.
That's so awesome. Yeah, I mean, I make the show and I limit screen time for my kids. And so I'm right in the same boat with you. But it's like, who would you rather have babysit your kids, you know, Elmo or Mises? You know, and if they can learn something that can help them in life, that's been sort of our guiding North Star, is let's make this as fun as Phineas and Ferb, but let's put in lessons from these Austrian economists or, you know, anti-Marxist lessons, or kind of reveal things so kids are equipped with critical thinking skills for the real world. So it's really cool to see you found value in what we're doing.
Well, I mean, to that point, too, I think there's a mass misunderstanding of the ability for children to pick up these topics. Because was it last week or 2 weeks ago, I was sending you a video of my son just for some reason. He was like, Daddy, take a video. I want to talk about Bitcoin. And he was just spitting out facts that he learned from the two Bitcoin focused episodes of Tuttle Twins. And as a father, as a Bitcoiner, I was incredibly impressed at how well he picked up on the themes and the facts around Bitcoin. To me, I truly believe he is internalized them and intuitively understands the concepts, where most people think you need to put your kids in front of like Hot Wheels or Paw Patrol, whatever it be, something that's at their level. But I think people really underestimate the ability for young children, specifically my son's five, to pick up pretty complex topics if it's portrayed in a fun and educational way.
Kids are incredibly smart. I think, yeah, we've just dumbed them down or underestimated them. My son is six now, and we were out fundraising, going door to door. He was selling some cookies that he'd made, and this woman tried to pay him in cash, and he was like, I'd prefer not. And I said, sorry, he's worried about inflation. she's like, she was laughing. She ended up being a Tuttle Twins fan, but it's just so crazy. Yeah, these kids can pick it up so fast. And I don't know about you, Marty, but like, I didn't learn many of these principles until post-college. And so the fact that these kids are being set up, like just seeing that video of your son rattle off all these truths and facts about Bitcoin and inflation is awesome. Like these kids are miles ahead of where I was growing up, and they're so set.
Yeah, my wife, one of her favorite sort of TikTok clips to send around or Twitter clips is the clip of the man on the street interview on the college campus where somebody from Tuttle Twins is asking about inflation, and you have a bunch of 19 to 22 year olds who can't answer the question, and you're going to kids age 6 to 12 that can answer it pretty eloquently and on the spot. It's insane when you think about just how dumbed down society's become. And again, going back to this idea that I think people really underappreciate that children have the capacity to learn and actually want to learn. I remember how excited the boys were when the second Bitcoin episode came out. They sat down, they watched it once, and I think they watched it like two or three times the days after that. But they were like excited to learn more about Bitcoin and really, again, internalized it. And I guess, how did you get into cartooning, and how did you decide on this particular sort of medium and Tuttle Twins as a show specifically?
Yeah, so Daniel Harmon and I, we co-founded Tuttle Twins TV show. We'd been at an ad agency called Harmon Brothers. That's where I started right out of school. And so we were known for viral internet ads. So if you remember like the pooping unicorn for Squatty Potty or like Purple Mattress or Lumi Deodorant, we'd blown up a lot of brands and made them a lot of money. But we were just kind of sick of doing it for other people. And we were sick of not being able to do storytelling. We kind of had this itch for, we want to tell stories. And we had a good friend named Connor Boyack. And at the time he'd written these books, the Tuttle Twins original series. And we approached Connor and we're like, Connor, we think we can crowdfund a TV show. We don't know. We don't know what the demand is like, but you know, we have these storytelling chops. We can explain things, complex things like the puborectalis muscle in 3 minutes. You know, we can explain things really simply and we can make them funny. What if we made a kids TV show about Tuttle Twins and, you know, basically made it the MCU of Tuttle Twins? And Connor loved the idea. And then we launched a crowdfunding campaign like 2019, right before the pandemic. And we were shocked to see all the demand that parents had for the show. And we ended up raising $4.5 million from the crowd. We broke a record for the most crowdfunded kids show. And we were just blown away by, oh my gosh, there's demand. Parents want this. And so that, you know, season one was finished or was funded. And it's been a grind ever since. But we've now, you know, completed season two, season three, and we're going to be launching season four in the fall. And it really is all due to these parents who crowdfunded it and continue to support us. And we continue to be beholden to them. I think that's a key part, is we're serving this audience. We're not serving some agenda or some other like metric or some kind of woke checkbox kind of thing. We are serving these parents, and we're here as a tool for you to teach the principles you already believe in to your kids in an easy and fun way.
And I think the model of Angel Studio is really cool too. Like I mentioned, we're guild members, and I think in this day and age where you have the behemoths like Disney, Netflix, Nickelodeon, Amazon as well, and like finding a unique way to compete and provide optionality for parents looking to get their kids away from the slop is extremely important.
Totally. Do you want me to go into the Angel model?
Like, so Angel, yeah. So like, let's describe like the Angel Studio model.
Yeah. So traditionally in Hollywood, you have kind of this top down, very centralized model where you have this room full of executive producers, the Kathleen Kennedys of the world, green light what they think your kids need. Right. It's very central planning. And then you get, you know, you get the Acolyte is what you get from that. And you get Snow White. And eventually Hollywood has a reckoning, you know, several years down the road when they have box office bomb after bomb after bomb. Angel's system is different, where it's a bottom up decentralized kind of executive model, a bit like Bitcoin, where nothing gets greenlit at Angel unless it passes the guild. Now, the guild is a group of 1.2 million basically subscribers to Angel, but they're also kind of executives. And how it functions is it's the wisdom of the crowds kind of principle, where if you read the book, The Wisdom of the Crowds, it basically shows that crowds, when they're not in a mob, when they can think independently, they get things right much better than experts. So you look at Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and Ask the Audience is more right than ask, you know, call an expert. And it's the same principle here, where, you know, you can show something to these the 1.2 million members of the Angel Guild, and if they like it, it's probably going to do well in theaters. It's probably going to do well over the long term. And it's just completing this feedback loop that Hollywood has just totally destroyed. And so the end result is, I think this last year in 2024, Angel was top 10 in the studio box office. And their Rotten Tomatoes popcorn meter, the audience score, is a 95% on average. And I think Disney's something like a 74 or something like that. So they're the number one in the industry. And it's all because they kind of created it bottom up to listen to the audience.
Yeah. And it makes a lot of sense to me, because, again, going, whether it's Tuttle Twins or any of the other content on Angel, I think it's information and immediate different types of mediums and storylines that people are thirsting for. Where, like, I think it was funny seeing the I'm sure you've seen the trailer for Spaceballs too, and yeah. just like, they've made 32 Marvel Universe movies, they've made how many Star Wars movies over the last three decades. Like, it's just a repeat. You can tell there's really no creativity in Hollywood anymore, which is ironic considering they're supposed to be one of the major creative forces in the world. They've gotten sort of lazy, complacent, and I guess really industrialized, in the sense that they know what inputs will produce certain monetary outputs, or at least did for a period of time. But as you mentioned, seems to be that impact seems to be waning, as people are like, all right, I don't need another superhero movie. Let's go on to something new here.
Yeah. In thinking about it, it's hard not to kind of step out of the Bitcoin mindset of fiat ruins everything. But I think there's a lot of weight to the idea that fiat has ruined film, where you look even like a decade or two ago and movies were just much more high quality. Like, the VFX holds up way better than some of these, you know, most recent movies. And you look at the kind of macro picture, these studios operate on razor thin margins. They're beholden to Wall Street. They're beholden to ESG scores. They're beholden to Oscar kind of quotas, diversity quotas. And they have to operate at such short, you know, term thinking, such high time preference, where, I don't know about you, my favorite trilogy is The Lord of the Rings. And just looking at The Lord of the Rings, like, even back then, granted, they had some subsidies to lessen the economic pressures, but they could spend years preparing for that movie. For all three movies, like, there was like chainmail artists who literally spent 2 years like making 80 million little chains for the armor of the movie, you know. And you just don't have the time or the money, the attention to be able to do that today. And so I think as a result, we do get lots of, you know, really low risk bets, like sequels and reboots and everything. And you can't tell original storytelling anymore.
Yeah, it's like one of the themes on X over the last week has been people making fun of the CGI of the new Superman movie. It's just like incredibly piss poor. And that's like, I've talked to got a couple of buddies in the film industry and that are becoming Bitcoiners, and they're like really interested to see how like Bitcoin as a treasury asset on the production company's balance sheet could help them really reorient and get back to low time preference movie making, which makes a lot of sense. Like if you have a long-term view, like 4 years, I don't know how long it takes to make a movie from beginning to end, but if you have a production company that's going to make many movies, like deciding to put Bitcoin on your company balance sheet so that you can actually create quality over the long run makes a lot of sense to me. And there's really interesting ways that you can finance productions with Bitcoin now as well. The early days, but that's something that excites me, like equipping production studios, directors, writers with hard money that allows them to focus on their craft instead of being pushed into this high velocity burn and churn sort of model just to get things out there to get revenue to make sure that you're outpacing inflation is incredibly exciting.
It's wild. Yeah, Angel announced this a few months ago, but they have a Bitcoin treasury. So Angel Studios, I think to my knowledge, is the first studio to have a Bitcoin treasury. So I think it's like 300 Bitcoin and counting so far. But the long-term vision for that is exactly what you said, where they can have, they're calling it an endowment for the arts, where you could have your operating company, but then you could have the Bitcoin treasury. So then you can really just, you know, tell stories that matter. I think a lot of people from the Angel crowd know Angel from The Chosen or from Sound of Freedom or Tuttle Twins, but they don't. And then they look at the Bitcoin play and they're like, what? It doesn't look, one of these things doesn't make sense. But the Angel founders are big Bitcoiners. They see the future of this. They see that, you know, Hollywood was built on the gold standard. And now, you know, we can go back to that renaissance of good storytelling when you have the time and when you have, you know, the money that appreciates faster than inflation. So yeah, it's exciting just to see, you know, even in the next 10 years, Disney's operating, I think last year they did like $91 billion in revenue. Their profit was like $5 billion. So they're operating, and most of that's coming from the parks. Yeah. It's not even coming from their movies. Like Snow White didn't help them with their profit margin. No.
It did not.
So, you know, it's for Bitcoiners, just seeing where this is going, it's not, I mean, it might sound crazy now, but having a Bitcoin-backed movie studio surpassing a fiat-based, turd maker studio, that's not too far-fetched.
No, it's really not. I didn't realize Hollywood was built on a gold standard.
Yeah, back in the day. Bankers. Well, I think actually it was built on investment before they started taking out debt, right? So the movie makers had actually, they owned their own studios, they owned their own theaters, and then that was broken up. But then they leaned into gold as well.
Sup, freaks? This rip of TFTC was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They make the Cold Card Q, my favorite hardware wallet, the most secure hardware wallet on the market. As you can see, it's got the BlackBerry form factor, full keyboard. It's got two secure enclaves. You create your private public keys offline. The device never has to go online, never does go online. So you keep your Bitcoin secure. If you have your Bitcoin on exchanges and you're looking to get it off, secure it in the best way possible. Pick up a Cold Card Q. Go to coinkite.com, find the Cold Card Q. Use the code TFTC for 5% off. If you're a power user of Bitcoin, like I am, if you're running a business on a Bitcoin standard, if you're just a Bitcoiner who wants to secure your Bitcoin, get the most secure hardware wallet on the market. Go get the Cold Card Q. It's a beautiful thing.
Sup, freaks? Guess what? We launched a browser extension. It's called Opportunity Cost, and it helps you see the true cost of everything in Bitcoin. Convert prices to Bitcoin as you browse the web. Opportunity Cost automatically displays fiat prices in Bitcoin or sats, helping you think in a Bitcoin standard. It works on Amazon, Zillow, X, your bank account, QuickBooks. You can convert everything to Bitcoin. It's really cool. It's also 100% open source, MIT license. We don't collect any data. All of the conversions happen in your browser on your local device. It's a great way to recalibrate your life and begin thinking in sats. Go check it out at opportunitycost.app. That's opportunitycost.app.
What is the most rewarding part of what you're building at Tuttle Twins? And because It is. I think for another example, my sister-in-law, she's in the industry as well, and she went to my nephew's class for career day, and she had to explain Bitcoin, and she actually just used a 3-minute clip from Tuttle Twins to sort of convey the message of Bitcoin to my nephew's class. And she said it was incredibly impactful. And so it's like little, and that's the beauty of the guild and just what you build. Cause you can produce the show, launch it. And then parents like myself, my sister-in-law watch it and are like, oh, this is actually valuable. And then you get it out to other kids at career day. And I imagine there's many other examples of similar types of interactions that parents have had with other parents and children who have not been exposed to Tuttle Twins.
Yeah. I mean, I was saying this before, but we just make this in a vacuum where we're just in a, you know, a dinky little office. And so it's those stories that definitely make me realize, oh my gosh, we might be doing something here. You know, we've heard of kids asking their parents for allowance in Bitcoin and the moms being like, I don't know how to get you Bitcoin, but having to figure it out. We've heard of kids standing up to their principals and teachers. We had a Tuttle kid who had a Gadsden flag on his backpack, and his teacher said that's a sign of slavery. And the kid knew his history and said, no, it's not. And the principal absolutely got roasted. And the kid was in the right. We had kids during the pandemic who saw our civil disobedience episode and decided not to wear a mask to school and went to the principal's office. And so it's like those kind of stories where we actually see in practice kids building businesses, like acting out what they see in the show. That's the fuel for us. It's just, wow. You know, maybe we could change the future of the country with kids who are so much more prepared than we were and that know, frankly, a lot more than many politicians. So yeah, it's those little stories that really fuel us.
To your last point, is something I've been really drawn to since my first son was born. Is in Bitcoin, we think about like, you know, fix the money, fix the world, and my day to day is focused on trying to educate as many people about Bitcoin, why it's important, how it works, and how they can use it. And our core demo here at TFTC and in the newsletter is, I believe. 45 to 50 year olds. So we're talking to Gen X, and then our second biggest demo is like 55 to 65 year olds. So like eking into the Boomerville sort of landscape. And I think I've become more convinced that I think the highest leverage, biggest return we're going to get in terms of Bitcoin education is Gen Z, younger Gen Z and Gen Alpha, our children. And that's another thing, just resigning myself to the fact that, hey, this is going to be a long haul. And actually, the biggest impact we can have is teaching our children these principles from the get-go. And then they grow up internalizing that and applying it to their lives. And maybe I could see a future where the biggest impact in terms of ushering in a Bitcoin standard is the kids who are 5 and 6 today actually applying that to their lives and demanding it because they understand these concepts.
Yeah, it's wild. I think it's so much easier to teach these principles to kids who have not had to unlearn anything. Like my son understands Bitcoin, no offense, but way better than my father-in-law, because he could just clearly see the emperor is naked and doesn't have to backpedal and say, no, but the clothes are there. They're just transparent, or, you know, whatever fiat games adults have to jump through. Inflation is necessary for blah, blah, blah. Anyways, so it's so intuitive just to be first principles focused, and kids get it. They totally get it.
Yeah. And you guys, you're obviously in Angel Studio now, and anybody who's downloading Angel has access to Tuttle Twins, but you've got something big working with the country of Argentina, which, when you think about the potential impact you guys could have with this deal, I'll let you describe it. That's when things get really exciting.
Yeah, so I'll choose my words carefully because we've had a massive hate campaign from the socialists in Argentina. But yeah, we've been working with the country of Argentina to get Tuttle Twins on air. Originally, when Milei won the election, he wanted to privatize the public TV in Argentina. And keep in mind, this public TV channel called Paca Paca literally showed Marxist propaganda. They have like something called La Asombrosa Karl Marx, where he's just going around with kids and Karl Marx is just awesome. And and so literal Marxist propaganda. Milei wanted to shut it down. The opposition wouldn't let him. And so the second best thing is to put Tuttle Twins on the air. So, which right now has, I mean, we've just gotten whole hit pieces written about Tuttle Twins. They say, you know, they use Milton Friedman, they use Hayek, and they mention a cryptocurrency that Bukele likes. That was supposed to be a dig. Anyways, so they're doing their worst. And we thought, you know, maybe the worst case scenario is that we privatize Argentine television, great, but second best is we can get Tuttle Twins and these principles of freedom out to millions of Argentine families.
Well, this gets to a very interesting conversation. You mentioned the term Marxist propaganda, and that's a whole nother concept that like I would love the boys to really understand. I think you guys have touched on it too, is this whole concept of propaganda. We grew up to learn that propaganda is a bad thing, which when used improperly, it certainly can be. I would argue that Marxist propaganda is bad because it propagandizes people to do things that are not in their own self-interest or the self-interest of the collective. But propaganda is a tool that needs to be wielded successfully and meticulously and in a very focused way by people who want their ideals. Yeah. And their principles to be conveyed and adopted. And so that's something I focus on. I wear it on my sleeve at TFTC. Like, yes, I'm putting out propaganda.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Propaganda is effective when utilized and executed correctly. And it's something that we need to embrace. Like, I'm trying to propagandize my children via the Tuttle Twins, and I'm not afraid to admit it.
Like, I think that's where those fence sitters lose the war. It's like, everyone is propagating ideas. If you're not going to propagate / teach ideas to your kids, someone else will. Like, they're going to learn from the public school. They're going to learn from whatever garbage is on Disney Plus. Somebody's going to propagate. It might as well be the ideas that you believe in and that you believe will set them up for success. I think we will do an episode on propaganda and maybe talk, you know, Edward Bernays or something, who was kind of the father of modern PR / propaganda, and how they, got people to join World War I through some of those films before movies in theaters. Bring full circle.
Yeah. It's something that needs to be embraced more. And like, and the way to level the playing field is say, hey, like you just mentioned, you're going to be propagandized everywhere. Accept that fact and join what these days would be referred to. I think the propaganda wars are more commonly referred to as meme warfare these days. And that's something I think Bitcoiners have done an incredible job of embracing and leaning into. And thoughts of Bitstein come to mind, probably one of Bitcoin's best propagandists that exists out there.
I think what separates us from the propaganda from the other side is we're very open. Like, the writing's on the packaging. We're not trying to hide anything from parents. We're not trying to Trojan horse kids, where, you know, with some of the most recent movies, you can go in and just get bombarded by messages that were not on the packaging, you know? So,
yeah. What are some examples of subversive propaganda in mainstream?
I mean, you had that whole debacle about the Proud Family reboot on Disney. I feel like they're very common. I don't want to maybe throw too much mud, but there's many. You just look at the lineup of the past kids movies and probably 50% or more have something that was kind of, they snuck in there.
Is Bitcoin's next parabolic move already starting? Two of the strongest historical indicators, global M2 liquidity and the copper to gold ratio, are flashing green again. Unchained and TechDev break it all down in the new report, Bitcoin's next parabolic move. Could liquidity lead the way? If you care about the macro forces shaping Bitcoin's trajectory, now's the time to pay attention. Visit unchained.com/TFTC to read the full report. That's unchained.com/TFTC.
Have you noticed any other writers, directors, cartoonists for seeing what you and the team have done at Tuttle Twins and saying, oh, wow, I should get into this? Do you think you're inspiring others to get into this type of genre of cartoon or child programming?
Yeah, I mean, we've heard from many behind the scenes. We love what you guys are doing. We can't kind of publicly come out and say that, but keep up the good work. Angel is kind of building this island for artists that just want to do art. And it's interesting, like, you can't make it so divisive that none of the good talent from Hollywood will come over. But there are many closeted libertarian / conservative actors, producers, directors in Hollywood that want to make great films with great messaging. They just can't. They get blackballed. And so Angel is that escape valve, and there's room for good stories. There's room for conservative or libertarian or freedom thinking messaging. And there's certainly appetite for it. It's just, you can't go through the traditional gatekeepers. You can't go through Kathleen Kennedy. You have to go outside of that.
Yeah. And it's never been, when you think of, I wrote about this today, there's like a lot of doomerism out there, and times certainly aren't as best as they could be. A lot of the fiat grift has leaked into many parts of our lives, but I like to look at the positive side of things, the silver lining, like the technology that we have today, what we're doing right now, different parts of the country, recording a video, using mics. We'll distribute this over RSS, YouTube, Rumble. We'll get it out there, our newsletters. And you think of platforms like X, while they're double-edged swords, they can feed you the algorithmic slop, or you can find signal if you know how to filter through all the noise. Like, it's never been easier for an independent creator to put some hard work and passion into the project they really care about and then get it out to the world, which makes me incredibly optimistic, because I would not have probably, if these tools didn't exist, I probably wouldn't have learned the Tuttle Twins, because I was completely unaware of Angel Studios until I started seeing Bitcoiners talk about Tuttle Twins on X. And I was like, oh, I'm going to check this out. And it's incredible. The modern day, as it stands in 2025, it's never been easier to access the right information. I think the focus needs to be on educating people how to filter through all the noise, because there's a ton of noise and very little signal in the noise to signal ratio. But if you can find the signal, it's out there, and people just need to be better equipped to find it.
Yeah. It used to be the signal was very, very strong. Three channels, Johnny Carson. If you could make it on that show, everyone in America knew you. Right. But now I guess the benefit of it not being so centralized is government can't control the public narrative nearly as much.
Right.
And I think the disadvantage is, the good signal is a little bit harder to find. You have to weed through it.
I'm having flashbacks to TV Guide. I remember TV Guide. I remember going to my grandparents' house, and when you try to plan your Friday night out at your grandparents, it's like you get a TV Guide and you look through like the what's it going to be on each channel, and you go find it. Thinking about how manual of a process and antiquated that seems today is insane.
Yeah, it is.
So you guys are working on season 4 right now. Yeah. What are some that you mentioned? Propaganda, something you might want to touch on. Like, what other topics? Like, you guys have covered a lot already in the first 3 seasons, but what, like, how much more do you think you guys have to dive into?
I mean, as long as there's appetite, our goal is to just have one more season than The Simpsons. So just a small goal. But for season 4, I think one thing we've been conscious of is we don't want to black pill kids. And as we've gone season by season, we can go more out on the branch for some of these topics. We can go down the rabbit hole. So some of the topics that we're working on for season four is one is the overpopulation myth. We want kids to feel that the world is big enough for all of us and that more people, more problem solving. So there was a clip I saw recently from Captain Planet back in the day, and they were just reading the population bomb and spitting it out there towards kids. How damaging. Like, you shouldn't have big families because the world will end, and the opposite's been true. So we're really excited about that one. We have some amazing guest stars that we haven't yet announced for season four. We have one on the bad effects of charity, where if charity done wrong can just totally create dependency of a nation and cripple entire industries. And so it must be done correctly. And, teach a man to fish kind of message. We have one on the food industrial complex that we're so excited to launch and to kind of go into both the cronyism that's happened behind the scenes and how I think we'll have a anthropomorphic food pyramid that just finds out that she's a lie. it's a food pyramid scheme of sorts. let's see what else. We have one on DEI. We're gonna debunk it. We're gonna have Thomas Sowell in the episode and just show kids, equity versus merit. Let's focus on merit. So just stuff that hopefully they'll have the anecdote for a lot of the poison that they're going to be exposed to, in the coming years in school.
Is Thomas Sowell going to do his own voice or?
So Thomas Sowell is a recluse. And so we're going to do a younger Thomas Sowell back in the day. But if we get old Thomas Sowell, he only comes out for book signings.
The Hoover Institute.
That's right.
Yeah. His interviews are incredible.
We'll see if we can get him at least a cameo is the goal. It's just, it's kind of like pulling teeth to get him. So.
Well, it's like modern day. You use like 11 labs to create his voice pretty accurately.
But yeah, most of the time, if somebody is living like Thomas, I mean, we just get the person. He is one of the greatest thinkers of our time and the most reclusive too.
And he's getting old. He's in his 90s, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 90s. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fascinating. I was thinking like population. It is with population at the top of. Typically gets tied in with climate change and all that, but I'm just thinking through my mind. I'm sure you guys are already well on your way to aligning, but like you touch on like Japan, like what's going on with their demographic, because it is it's something that kids really need to internalize, like our generation. Like when you think about when we get older, there's going to be a problem with. There already is a problem with Social Security, but like you have many more people aging out than are coming below them. And that's something I care deeply about is like later in life, like thinking like when my mom gets older, when my wife's parents get older, like how do we take care of them? Like, I don't want to push them into a home. Like you need a strong economic foundation. And I think more importantly, a social foundation is really, that's what I would like to instill. And my boys is like, hey, don't put us in a home when we're older. Yeah. Like we should live in a multi-generational house. It's something I would like to see. I would like to see that trend come back where we're not just dumping girls. Because I've had the incredible experience of three out of my four grandparents have passed, but each one of them died in their own home in hospice surrounded by my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, myself. And that was an incredibly special experience for all of us, but it's something that's being lost today, and part of this population bomb terrible propaganda is feeding into it.
Right Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think I'm hopeful we return to that. And I know people are saying, well, robots are coming and so robots will take care of the old with the inverted pyramid population problem, but that would be a terrible way to go, just holding the hand of your robot. Just that, looking into the eyes of your robot. It's going to be really important that we do it right and try and fix the problem. I think for China, for South Korea, for Japan, it's like generations too late where we will see population collapse. They really, like, looking backwards, China internalized the population bomb much more than the U.S. did, even though it came. Paul Ehrlich wrote, you know, he was a U.S. biologist. So, yeah, we're hoping Paul sees our episode.
I think the last stat I saw on South Korea specifically is within two generations, they'll have like a 90% population collapse if they don't turn things around.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, this gets to a broader point, like to your point, like the population bomb, whether DEI, whatever it is, like the propaganda on what I think we would both agree is built on the wrong set of principles and the wrong sort of perspective on the world has strongly affected society broadly, globally, to the point where countries like China, Japan, South Korea, the U.S. even to a certain extent, has shot themselves in the foot and are doing things that are counterproductive to the flourishing of their societies. And I just thinking this popped in my head, like, so I think what you're doing is extremely important because we need mechanisms to turn the tide socially and psychologically to let people know, no, humans are good. We were meant to be here. Like, there are certain ways we should interact in a society and in an economy to do things productively and that are beneficial for the individual and the whole. And going back to like the doomers, and like, I was a big doomer until I found Bitcoin because
yeah.
It feels like there's no way out. And like Bitcoin gives you that way to opt out via your financial life. But I think it's really important to have an opt-out option for sort of educating kids about these big ideas. And that's one of the most insidious things about Hollywood and the messages they've been putting out for many decades now. So, I mean, it's not every movie or every show, but a lot of the popular movies and shows are sort of cataclysmic and
yeah.
really strike fear in people and have a material effect on how people view the world.
Yeah, it's very clear that art is informing life and life is informing art, or at least people's perception of life, right? And we've had to sort of grapple with that as we've gone through this episode too, because in many senses, you know, life is getting better than it ever has before. But then you have that battle between innovation and inflation. And, you know, we look at just prices on the surface, but when you dig down to time price, what people could buy with an hour of their time, we can buy far more eggs now per hour worked than we could back in 1900. They may not be the best quality eggs. So that's another discussion, which we talk about the food industrial complex episode, but like, you know, we don't have people mass starvation like Paul Ehrlich was forecasting. We have obesity problems, right? And so, I think what we've realized is the thesis of more people, more problem solving still checks. You have people like Satoshi Nakamoto who invented, you know, this escape valve, this hope that can help so many people. And that all came through, you know, somebody deciding to have a kid.
Yeah, it really did. And that's, I mean, I'm just thinking now too, like, because we just launched an app, a TFTC called Opportunity Cost, and which helps you price everything in Bitcoin. And this is something I've been doing a lot of internal reflection on. Like, we've had ideas for apps, and I think as a Bitcoin-focused media company, we've always thought, like, we need to get some Bitcoin product in the hands of people. And for the longest time, it's like, all right, like, something that involves a wallet, being able to send, receive Bitcoin or get access to Bitcoin directly. But I think we settled on this informational tool because it's relatively low lift, something that we could actually build and something that we don't have to worry about. Broader point being, since there's a lot of Bitcoiners out there saying, I want to do something to help Bitcoin or help the broader freedom movement. And they think they need to do something very complex or build something grand and sort of complicated and very featureful, but I think there's a ton of low hanging fruit in the information war, which we settled on opportunity costs. And I think Tuttle Twins is a great example. Like, you don't need to build some sort of financial app. You need to build a mechanism for education, particularly for younger people in your case. And I think that's one thing, because I don't want to blow smoke up your butt, but I think people severely underestimate how impactful sort of things that are unintuitive can be for having an impact on this movement. A cartoon.
Yeah.
Like thinking of a Bitcoin cartoon is so creative. And as I've been mentioning, it's already impacted my children, my niece, my nephew, and now their classmates to a certain degree. And so I think it's incredibly inspiring what y'all are doing with Tuttle Twins and Angel Studios more broadly. And hopefully others out there are listening, thinking about how can I help? How can I help? It's these small little things that may seem unintuitive on the surface.
Garrett.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's humbling to hear, man. Yeah. We're just, we didn't anticipate, you know, the success. It's definitely not come all in a night. It's been a grind all throughout. So, but yeah, as we've gotten sucked more down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, you know, most of our audience aren't Bitcoiners, but they are freedom-minded people, and they've started questioning the public school system, and they've started questioning now the money. They started questioning a lot of things. So it's been beneficial to not just be a Bitcoin-focused company, because we can bridge to so many other topics that, you know, people care a lot about. And we can mix Bitcoin in there too. So for those thinking like, oh, I just have to be focused on Bitcoin, I think you can triangulate to Bitcoin from a lot of different places.
Yeah, and that's, you're mentioning it before we hit record, but we've branched out outside of Bitcoin-only content and sort of covering tangential topics that with people that align ideologically but may not grok Bitcoin. And I think that's been, in terms of TFTC orange pilling our guests, that's been the most impactful way. Is like, hey, I agree with you on this thing about bodily autonomy or geopolitics or macroeconomics. Let me just sprinkle some Bitcoin into the conversation and get you thinking. If you think this way, then Bitcoin makes a lot of sense for you. And I think that is another incredible attribute to Tuttle Twins. You cover such a wide spectrum of Austrian economics and freedom oriented topics that I think just via osmosis, people, parents watching the show with their kids are like, oh yeah, I agree with all this. Why wouldn't I agree with the Bitcoin stuff too? It sort of makes sense.
Yeah. There was this comment from a few months ago where someone was like, you guys are spot on with all your episodes, but this Bitcoin thing is a total miss. It just was so funny to me. If you trust us with 99% of this stuff, like, could you learn a little bit more about Bitcoin?
It's, and their kids are like, no, daddy, this makes sense.
This makes sense.
What's the process like for making an episode?
Yeah, so it takes about as long as making a child. It's much harder. I'm just kidding. My wife's pregnant right now. She'd kill me.
Awesome.
Oh, nice. Congrats.
Congrats to you.
Thanks. So, yeah, about 9 months. And we kind of came outside of Hollywood. So we didn't know how Hollywood tells us we should do it, but we just took what we did with ads. And so we just spend about 6 weeks writing an episode. And we'll do lots of brain trusts with experts and with just cool writers that we know and like, and just refine the script over and over and over. I joke around with people like half the jokes in the show we just write for ourselves and they go way over kids' heads, and then half the jokes we write for kids. And we kind of intend for each Tuttle Twins episode to be that family viewing experience, kind of the original Pixar stuff where the adults can be laughing alongside their kids. And then from there, yeah, we make the animatic, which is basically just like the storyboarded version, the animated storyboarded version. And then we work with our animation house. We're using an animation house in Ireland who makes the final animation. And then we, after 9 months, kick out an episode every month. So it was a bit tricky. We have, being a principled show, we don't take subsidies. So it takes us a long time to find an animation house that doesn't get huge film subsidies. So, and it's been kind of frustrating too, but yeah, the film industry is just swimming in government contracts and subsidies.
So do you have a go-to one or is the shop?
Yeah. I mean, with Ireland, we found one that would do it without taking government subsidies. So
is it hand-drawn?
No, they use something called Toon Boom. So it's like puppeting, basically kind of puppet like animation. I wish it was hand-drawn. That would be awesome. To go back to the real, you know, long-term thinking, short, you know, high time or low time preference way of doing things.
Yeah. And since you mentioned it, I have to ask, is Grandma Gabby is she the mechanism for getting the parent jokes out there typically?
Yeah, I'd say Grandma can, you know, say, you know, places to go, people to see, communists to offend. She can say stuff like that. A lot of times she's the one who does hit for parents. Yeah. And yeah, we'll just throw in, you know, lots of different jokes for parents.
How can anybody who's listening to this help you guys out outside of watching, becoming a guild member?
If you want, just watching the show is the first step. Go to angel.com/TuttleTwins. Three of our seasons are free. The season four will be guild locked, so only paying guild members can watch it when it comes out. But then we release lots of clips on social media. I think to date we've had like 300 million views across episodes of the show and clips. And so if you see a clip that resonates with you, please share it, you know, and spread Tuttle Twins with your family and friends. That really helps. Just word of mouth is the biggest thing.
And what would you say to parents who may be a bit apprehensive to throw their children into the deep end of some of these concepts?
I'd say watch it first. I don't encourage any parent to just like, trust me, like verify, go and watch what we put down. There may be a topic like the military industrial complex episode that you're like on the fence with or something. And that's, sure, that's fine. Each of our episodes, like I was saying before, it passes the guild, only when the parents pass it. And so if you join the Angel Guild, you can actually tell us, and we read every single comment early on. That joke was offensive, or I think you guys are getting this wrong. And we listen to those comments. And if we see like a pattern, we definitely make some drastic changes. But the point is, like, we don't make this without parent approval. And you shouldn't show this to your kid without watching it first, I would say.
Yeah. As a parent, the MLK episode, I think you guys handled that topic very, very meticulously, and it handled it with class, and it was
thanks, man.
I was watching, I was like, oh wow, they're touching this, and this is this is incredible.
Which one was that? The we've mentioned him in a couple episodes, Imperfect People, or was that the
Imperfect People?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. How can you say an affair in a way that kids that goes over kids' heads? But yeah,
yeah. Well, you guys are crushing it.
Thanks, man.
I can't wait for season four. And yeah, if there's anything we can ever do here at TFTC to help you guys out, let me know, because I think, as I said, we're in a meme war affair, a war for minds, if you will, or a battle for minds. And I think it's important. And you guys are an incredible example of good educational content that I, as a parent, feel comfortable putting in front of my children. And we need more of that. And I will reiterate to anybody listening out there with young children, do not underestimate their capacity to learn and really understand topics, complex topics, economic topics at a very early age. And you mentioned the allowance in Bitcoin. Like our oldest son, he demanded it in Bitcoin too. So I set him up with an eCash wallet, and he eagerly does chores so that I can send him Bitcoin. And he's obsessed with watching his wallet balance go up after completing chores. And it's worked out well for us. He's storing his chore money and hard money, and he's actually eager to do chores and help around the house, which is incredible. So,
man, we got to get a tutorial of that. I'm sure like tons of our parents would love to see what you're doing. yeah, on that side.
Maybe we could, maybe I will do that. Maybe there'll be a newsletter. All right, here's how.
Yeah, we'll hit up our audience with it too. Yeah, because there's so many parents who are like, where do I start? You know, it's so over my head. Well, Marty, man, what you're doing here with TFTC and Rabbit Hole Recap, everything you're doing is such high signal. And for our audience, we'll send this out to you guys too. Like, check out his stuff. It's a really great way to dive deep on Bitcoin, but also freedom related topics. And I was joking around with you before coming on the show, like, you find some of these great freedom minded voices way before I hear about them elsewhere. And so I actually listened to this show sort of to think of potential guest stars for future episodes.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, that. Oh yeah, this person is, or sometimes to question the guest stars that we're talking to. In the case of food industrial complex, we were talking to, I won't name names, but anyways, yeah, it was just good to get to, yeah, just pure signal here.
We've thank you for that. We're becoming a bit of a Rogan warm-up show. A lot of recent guests over the last couple of years, they'll show up on TFTC first, and then a year or two later they'll end up on Rogan. That's something we're very proud of here, and
amazing.
That's what I aim to do. Just, and it's for me, it's just following my own curiosity and having done it for so long, like, not afraid to be like, all right, you're saying some interesting stuff, let's have a conversation about it. So thank you for listening and for the kind words. I'm just some dude following his curiosity.
Likewise, we're just some dudes making cartoons for our own kids, and if it works for others, great.
Well, Johnny,
I meant to mention, we are doing an episode with Saifedean Moose and Keynes, so that'll come out season 4. We're going to be debunking Keynesianism for kids. So we'll have to, get you an early screening of that. But we don't hold punches. And we went light on, we cut the pedophile joke that we had about Keynes just because it is a kid's show.
No scene set in Morocco, I guess.
Yeah, no. But yeah, it is a kid's show. We did play around with Grandma putting him in a protective bubble the whole time. But, you know, we wanted to tack Keynes on not just his behavior, but on, the ideas. So, but yeah, I'm excited for you to see it. So
the debt doesn't matter. We're going to teach the kids that the debt doesn't matter.
The debt doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Johnny, thank you for what you're doing. Freaks, if you're listening to this, you have children. Even if you don't have children, go check out the Tuttle Twins. Incredibly refreshing cartoon that exists. And it will set your kids on the right path to understanding principles that, if you're listening to this show, I assume you're aligned with, at least to a certain degree. And it's a hard thing as a parent, too, to try to... I'm the newsletter I write is probably at, I don't, like, they tell you in content, particularly on social media, right at a fifth grade level. I don't know how to do that. And so I'm like trying to get very complex concepts out there, but I explain them at a higher level. And when I go to try to explain this stuff to my kids, it's like, all right, how do I dumb it down? I have a problem doing that. I have a hard time doing that. And so having a resource like the Tuttle Twins, where you guys are really good at that and being able to be like, all right, son, sit here, watch this, and then I'll answer any questions you have after. It's incredibly beneficial and impactful for me as a parent.
Man, yeah. Likewise, thank you so much for having me on, and I'm excited to kind of see where the next Joe Rogan guest stars come from a couple years in advance.
Might be you, Johnny. It's going to be you.
Well, you said it, Marty. I didn't say it.
All right. Thank you so much, Johnny. Enjoy the rest of your day. Peace and love, freaks.
Okay.
Freaks, thank you for listening to the show. I hope you liked it. If you did like it, please make sure you subscribe, rate, review the show. It helps us out a lot. And also, if you like these conversations, I've come to realize that many people listen to the podcast. They don't know we have another sort of layer of this media company. We have the newsletter, the Bitcoin Brief. Go to tftc.io. Make sure you subscribe there. A lot of the topics that are discussed on this podcast, I write about 5 days a week in the newsletter. We also have the TFTC Elite tier. If you sign up for that, become a member. We have a private Discord server for the elite freaks out there where we're dropping ad-free versions of this show and having discussions about everything we talk about a day early. Logan wanted me to make sure if you want to get the show a day early, become a TFTC elite member, you will get that. We have our Discord server. Right now it's conversation between myself and TFTC elite tier members, but we're going to expand that. We'll probably do closed Q&As with people in the industry. I may be doing Macro Mondays. So join us. Go to tftc.io. Subscribe. Find the button in the top right corner of the website. Become a TFTC elite member. Thank you for joining us. Okay.